This is Lindsay Miller, and you're listening to the Arkansas Times Week in Review podcast for Friday, April the 30th. On this week's edition, we're going to talk about the end of the legislative session, vaccine hesitancy and COVID worries, and Josh Duggar, and who knows, maybe a few other things. I'm joined, as usual, by Max Brantley.
Hello.
So I can't remember what it ended up being. One of the longest legislative sessions in history, the longest in, I don't know, a decade plus, finally wrapped up this week, and not soon enough. It ended fittingly with a midnight deal to get in a last minute gun compromise that was just utterly stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it was so much drama over essentially nothing. I mean, they passed this gun sovereignty bill that declared specific federal laws unenforceable in Arkansas and said it'd be a crime if cops helped enforce the law and said you couldn't collect federal fees in Arkansas. And at the last minute, people who should have spoken up long before then but are afraid of these bunch of bullies said, well, you know, this jeopardizes some 800 pending federal cases. It'll take $18 million from the Game and Fish Commission. You know, it's probably unconstitutional to prosecute law enforcement officers for cooperating with the feds. So they came up with a compromise that still declared state sovereignty over all gun laws going forward from January the 1st, which makes it only prospectively unconstitutional, not retroactively unconstitutional. It still throws the U.S. Constitution in the trash can. It also adds state sovereignty, not just on guns, but religion and anything else you want to name. It's just, and so, I mean, the long and short of it is this law will most of the time probably be meaningless. I mean, but it was virtue signaling for conservative gun nuts. And so it accomplished throwing some red meat to that base. And I guess the governor gets a few points for urging them to do something different. He also successfully urged them to pull back another bill that said no federal gun law could be enforced in Arkansas unless it was ratified first by the Arkansas legislature. I mean, the guys are just out of control. And of course, it raised in my mind the question of how well they represent voters in general. And today I ran a poll results from something called the Southern Progress Fund, which is a outwardly and openly progressive organization that polled 1,300 people the last week about the legislature. And I think the questions were asked in a way to largely obtain the results they got, which is that voters in general think the legislature spends too much time on culture war issues and not enough on business development and healthcare and other bread and butter kind of issues. I guess the question is, and somebody responded to this, I think it was a Democrat Gazette editorial writer after I posted something on Twitter, a fairly smart comment saying, I mean, I raised the question of do these bills represent Arkansas as a whole or just these legislators? And she said that, well, you have to remember that Republican politicians, first of all, think about the Republican primary, which is now where all elections are won in Arkansas. And it could be that the base in Republican primaries really do care more about guns, abortion, and transgender people than they do anything else. And so that who knows? I don't know what the truth is, but I do know that conventional public opinion polling says that Arkansas is not much different than the rest of the country on guns. They think the existing law is okay, doesn't need to be looser, that they don't like abortion much, but they're not ready for it to be illegal, that they're kind of coming to grips with people of sexual orientation that's different than the mainstream as defined by the majority. And so I don't know. I mean, none of that helps in terms of what the legislature did, which was terrible.
Austin Bailey, our managing editor, wrote an excellent overview of the legislative session. That's the cover story of the Arkansas Times Magazine that just hit streets in Little Rock and is online right now. But it, as as extensive as it is, it's certainly not comprehensive in rounding up all of the terrible that happened. You and I trading emails, and you had a list that included a number of things we didn't get to. And I know you've been sort of trying to crowdsource all the bad things, but it really feels like this is something we're going to be sorting out for weeks, if not months. So much.
Well, you know, there are going to be some immediate things that have to be sorted out. I mean, one obvious example is, in 90 days, does the Arkansas Children's Hospital gender identity clinic go out of business because the state has made medical services for people under 18 illegal? One immediate thing, small thing that popped up today is, will the NCAA stand by what it said about not holding postseason tournaments in places that can't show they're free of discrimination? And today they said University of Arkansas is on the list to hold softball tournaments in Fayetteville, despite the fact that we have an anti-transgender law, that it's in a city where the state legislature prohibited a civil rights ordinance, that just for my wonderful dose of irony I have to work in, the local opposition to a civil rights ordinance was led by Mrs. Duggar, the mother of the 19 and counting family, because of how big a danger protecting transgender people would be because they're predators. Well, as you know, her son got charged today in federal court with possession of child pornography, depiction of sexual abuse of minors. So we'll see who the real predators are and where the Republicans, who were big friends of the Duggars, where they will come out on that. But again, I think I go back to a lot of this. The governor either allowed to become law or signed today the prohibition on vaccination passports. We've instituted a mask mandate ban that takes effect in a few months. A lot of this stuff, again, is just playing to the base. I think it's a lot of words over which a lot of ink was spilled, and it isn't going to mean much. Another couple of good examples are these religious non-discrimination bills, which are meant to protect people who discriminate. The bill against teaching divisive concepts, which is another bunch of garbage meant to stifle talk about racial inequities.
Well, that one failed. That one failed. I think Trent Garner's divisive concepts or critical race theory and contractors with
it got through. It passed.
That got through, but not Lowry.
Well, but it's the same thing. I mean, they're both. I mean, Lowry specifically addressed the 1619 project, but they both have the same objective, which is to prevent. I mean, Garner's bill, for example, said you may not say that there is systemic racism in America. Well, of course there is, you know, and I mean, one of the most wonderful things, terrible things that happened this week was the Republican response to Joe Biden's speech was by Tim Scott, the African-American senator from South Carolina, who said there is no systemic racism in America. This is a man who said every black man I know knows what the truth is, that you have to be worried about unfounded police stops. I got stopped 7 times in one night. If that's not systemic racism, my eye doesn't know it.
Yeah, that was his statement was immediately retweeted by all the Jason Raperts of the world.
Yeah, who of course are, well, anyway. So I mean, but a lot of this stuff is just stuff. Although I kind of did some thinking out loud about this vaccine passport thing. And when they passed this bill, they said, oh, this only applies to public agencies. They can't, and it exempted health institutions and maybe prisons or something. I don't know. But it's a very simple bill, and it's very clear, and it says they are prohibited for travel and services, among others. And it doesn't differentiate between private providers of these things and public providers of these things. I don't think as a practical matter this is going to have much effect, but what if one of the many rednecks in Arkansas gets his gun and goes down to his travel agency and says, I want a ticket to Mozambique, and they say, well, you got to give me your passport because they're requiring that for entry, and he says, like hell I will. Law says I don't have to. Well, I mean, I think that their interstate travel, interstate commerce issues and all of that, but you know, we just added so many words to the statute books that just shouldn't have been added. That's kind of the long and short of it.
Well, and you can expect the ACLU will be busy in the coming weeks and months.
Well, yes, but it's, you know, it's going to be kind of hard. First of all, you got to have a plaintiff. And you know, they passed, I don't know, 11, 15 anti-abortion laws. Any number of them are absolutely unconstitutional under existing court precedent, which even they acknowledged in some cases, but they're trying to get a court test. And so they still are going to need a plaintiff, and you still got to go to court. And, you know, the state has all the money it needs to stay in court and fight this stuff. That's one of the things. There ought to be some punishment of state officials to get us into these things, but there's not. And we pass what we have to look forward to, two or three ballot issues in constitutional amendment form from the legislature that you need to know no more than what you now need to know whenever the legislature refers something. That just vote no. Anything the legislature puts on the ballot, you just can't be for, and that's the case this year.
Yeah. So, it would be hard to be a plaintiff, but the possibly the worst bill, which you mentioned earlier, the one that denies gender-affirming care for children, for trans children, I guess you'd hope there'd be a plaintiff for that sooner rather than
later. I think there will be, because, you know, there are parents and children who testified at the legislature, and it was some of the most wrenching moments of the session to see these people treated like dirt by the Arkansas legislature, people with real feelings and real problems and real medical experts on their side, and to be treated so abusively and dismissively by this bunch of yahoos probably the lowest moment of the session. And so I would think that somebody there is going to step forward, because there are people who are receiving hormone treatment or testosterone, and it's made a huge difference in their lives and their mental outlook, and they're now facing the loss of it. They'll meet the injunction test, I think, for immediate harm. I think that should be one of the first lawsuits and should be one of the first rulings in the favor of the ACLU. At least I hope so.
Well, all right, let's, before we move on, the legislature has promised to return in the fall to deal with redistricting and, of course, tax cuts.
Right, the session isn't over. They only recessed. They didn't adjourn sine die. They have some hope they can meet to finish their part of the redistricting process, which is to draw the congressional district boundaries. However, I guess, Doyle Webb decides they should be drawn on this $150,000 a year job working for Leslie Rutledge. But they also may have a special session on tax cuts. They've got $1 billion surplus, and everybody's bound and determined to cut taxes. The only question is how much and who benefits. The governor is steadfast in saying his main goal is to cut the top income tax rate. That would, of course, benefit millionaires the most, but that's his constituency. And there is some limited support, even among some Republicans, for some help for poor workers and an earned income tax credit. But they introduced at least one bill to that effect this session and went absolutely nowhere. And poor people, you just don't get much comfort at the legislature. To me, one of the worst moments, and it was a really small bill with just the most limited effect, but it just captured the meanness of this legislature. And it was a little bill, and it was by Jonathan Disbank. But give him credit, because he's been a pretty conservative and often disappointing semi-moderate Republican in the Senate, that would have given people who got evicted under the criminal eviction statute, failure to vacate, during the pandemic, who were unable to pay their rent because they lost jobs during the pandemic, to petition a court. Now, remember, they first have to go to court and figure out how to do that. And then they'd have to prove that indeed the reason they didn't make their rent payment was because they lost their job in the pandemic. And then the only benefit they'd get from going through this process is they wouldn't have a criminal charge on their record. Their record could be sealed. Not expunged, sealed. They wouldn't be forgiven any money they owed their landlord. They'd still owe that money. The landlord could still capture everything he could capture from them. And Robin Lundstrom and Richard McGrew, who's another landlord, both of them are big landlords, were just nasty in support of it. They said, these people are getting unemployment compensation. They've never had it so good. Bad tenants are the problem, not bad landlords. We've done enough. They're having all these rental assistance programs, to hell with them. And that carried, and it was just so mean. I mean, it was, all this was spoken without the slightest bit of smile. It was like, the landlords are the people that are really suffering here, not their tenants. It was, and I thought in a way that just sort of wrapped up the entire legislative session of where the interests of the legislators were. And it was in their own back pockets for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, just so much contempt for anybody other than themselves, really.
Which, by the way, I noticed Lundstrom was one of the people characterizing our cover, who did that wonderful drawing for our story on the legislative wrap-up.
Well, it wasn't actually Robin. It was Mary Bentley, Missy Irvin.
Oh, it was Missy Irvin. Well, they're both kind of raging. Yeah, well, that's fine. Anyway, I don't know.
The illustrator was Kasten Searles, Kasten Searles. So check out her website. It's
I thought she captured the emotion of the session pretty well. Did you see Trent Garner's tweet saying, "Well, if I'm getting caricatured in the Arkansas Times, I must be doing something right."
Yes, I did.
So, by the way, I meant to say earlier, Austin's story on the legislative wrap-up was not only great because it had so much in it, but it was just really well written, I thought. I just thought it was great. She just did a wonderful job.
Yeah, definitely. Check it out. It's online and in print. Well, let's move on to vaccines and COVID. Last week, the state ordered fewer than its allotment of vaccine, and then going into next week, we're not going to order any, which I'd say is a pretty bad sign.
No, and even the governor is now acknowledging we need to do better, and we do, and we won't. We're just in a lot of it is our nature of this state to begin with. A lot of it's political tribalism. I think some of it is encouraged by fear of vaccine that's apart from political reasons, and I think some of it is that, well, gee, they're removing the mask mandates and people are going back to work and school and it's kind of over. And they don't really realize that, boy, it can pop back up terribly. I mean, the calamity in India is a pretty good illustration of that. But closer to home, I thought it was pretty fascinating that they had to shut down regular classes at Forest Park Elementary school next week because of an outbreak of COVID-19 in that school. And I say this, and I can be blamed for elitism if I want to, but Forest Park is a majority white elementary school in probably the highest income neighborhood in the Little Rock School District. And my observation from living near that neighborhood, mask observance is among the best of anywhere I go in that neighborhood. I think it's a progressive neighborhood. People have tended to follow the instructions. They vote Democratic. And so I think all of which is to say, not that they're better people or anything, but if you think that there's such a thing as safety from this disease, I mean, this is an area where I think more people than not were following the rules. And the Little Rock School District has been pretty good about trying to encourage rule following. But I learned this week, coincidentally, from the grandmother of a student at Forest Park whose grandchild is very sick with COVID-19 and was not very happy about it because she happens to be in the classroom of a teacher who refuses to take the vaccine. Now, I'm not saying the child got it from the teacher. I have no idea, but you can see where a grandmother in the face of a sick grandchild might not feel very warmly toward a teacher who doesn't think she needs to get the vaccine. And so all of that is just a cautionary tale that people ought to get the damn shots.
Yeah. It's going to be a long road, I'm afraid. And the numbers have, they haven't spiked dramatically, but they're up from where they were several weeks ago.
They're up. We're up a little bit. I mean, there are a couple of hundred cases a day, and this is based on pretty low testing rates.
Right. You know, not and many, that, so. and And Dr. Romero has talked about the increase of the variant in the state, but also always acknowledges that we are testing just a very small sampling of tests for the variant. So it's surely spreading much more.
And we're just only doing about 15,000 shots a day. And, you know, and that just doesn't get you anywhere. Really, I'm at a point where I'm kind of hoping maybe we'll have more herd immunity here because there's just an awful lot of people have gotten it and recovered from it. And so they have some protection for that. They never got tested, never took the shots, but they've had the virus.
Well, we've already talked about the kind of basic particulars of our third topic, and that's the arrest of Josh Duggar, the former reality star and Politico, for child pornography charges. Twitter is alive today with pictures of prominent Republicans with Josh Duggar.
Yeah, you know, he rose to great heights. He was a national lobbyist for the Family Research Council, the ultra-right wing conservative religious lobby, and job he lost after the revelations that he'd been investigated for child molestation of his sister, a couple of sisters, and maybe a non-family member when he was younger. And many people rose to his defense, and Mike Huckabee chiefly among them. And even some of his family said, oh, this has been blown out of proportion. Well, it turns out, I mean, and a charge is just a charge. It's not a conviction, but my experience with the federal child porn prosecutions is, and this one doesn't explicitly say it's images downloaded from a computer, but that's pretty clearly the outline as depicted in the two count indictment, one receiving, one of possessing child porn. That is depictions of children younger than 12 being sexually abused. They usually got you dead to rights, you know, on these things. The one most interesting question that's arisen out of this, I mean, of course, there's Schadenfreude for all the people who hate the Duggars and the Republicans and the religious right. But is if he's charged explicitly with receiving and possessing these images in May of 2019, almost two full years ago. Some ask, and the question hasn't been answered, and I don't know if we'll know until it goes to trial, why it took so long to file charges. We know there was some investigation of him as long ago as 2019 because the search warrant was issued, I think, at one of the places he works. Whether it was related to this or not, we just don't know. Oh, that might have been a place you'd go to search a computer, for example. But did he get any favoritism because of his friendship with Huckabees and Tom Cottons and other Trumpers from the Trump Justice Department? I think it's at least a fair question to ask. And I don't know enough about the nature of these charges. I mean, I do see some federal charges kind of take a long time coming to fruition. Certainly the Gilbert Baker bribery case goes back, gosh, what, 6-7 years now. So I don't want to draw any conclusions from that, but it's a question that's being asked, and I think it deserves at some point to be answered.
All right, well, let's leave it there and move on to endorsements. What do you have this week?
Well, I wanted to get this done today for one thing, because Irma Thomas is coming on WWOZ at 5:45 today, so I'm going to hear her Jazz Fest set from some years ago. But I started watching this week, and it's probably a rating of my shallowness, I guess. But I started watching a show on Apple TV that I'm just crazy about, Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, everybody's crazy about that. I guess I get Apple TV.
I'm just crazy about it. And I'm not going to say it's because the writing's brilliant or the acting's brilliant, or it's just a story about this guy, sort of nebbishy soccer coach who gets hired out of a college job in the U.S. to coach a Premier League soccer team in England. And he's hired intentionally to screw the club up. But of course, by his innate goodness and smarts, he's somehow managing to bring it all together. But he's just a funny guy, and funny show, and funny characters. And I don't know, I guess there's two seasons worth of it. I've blasted through about 6 or 7 episodes of it. And every one of them, they're funny or endearing, or I don't know. Anyway, I recommend Ted Lasso without reservation for the simple-minded like me.
Yeah, that sounds great. I gotta check it out. I have not. Apple TV is the final frontier for me. I don't have Acorn. You probably have Acorn.
I got Acorn too. I forget why we added Apple TV. They had one movie that I really wanted to see. I can't remember. It was made for Apple TV, and it was a fairly well reviewed. I can't even remember what it was now. But I went through the process. Also, when I bought a new computer, I guess I got Apple TV for free for 3 months or something.
Oh.
And so I downloaded the app, or it was on my computer already, and I had the cord where I could plug my computer into my TV. And so we watched this one movie, and then I saw it had some other stuff on there. And you know how it goes. It's, you know, just add some charge to your monthly credit card bill. And, you know, who knows how many. I mean, I got storage, and I got Apple, and I got Acorn, and I got Hulu, and I got, I don't know. Anyway, I got it all.
I just got a new computer. Maybe I can do the same thing. That's a good thought.
You should. I mean, I got this new MacBook, and it just said, well, you're every now and then sent me a message saying you're entitled to do this for a while. And so that's kind of what led me to it. But I don't know. It's funny too, because every now and then I'll read about something and said, we ought to watch this movie now. And we'll say, well, you watched it 3 weeks ago. So you know, I mean, I could. She contends I could read the same three books over and over again, and that's all I ever need to own because I forget them right after I read them. I think I just did that on a James Lee Burke book set in Montana. It was pretty good, and at the end, I think I've read this before, but I've forgotten enough of it that it was okay. I wasn't sorry I'd read it again.
Yeah, well, sometimes formula is comforting.
Yeah.
Well, I went to a restaurant or to the patio of a restaurant for the first time since the pandemic. I went to Hill Station in Hillcrest. I joined all the young people who've been flocking to its patio for ever since it opened. And it was great. It was nice to went out with a couple friends. But I wanted to endorse specifically Hill Station Steak Frites. It's a hanger steak with a giant glob of herb butter, some arugula, and some pretty solid small French fries. And
sounds good. We've been meaning to go there now that you can go outdoors and we've been vaccinated. We just haven't quite gotten the escape velocity yet to do it, but we're heading there.
It's hopping, but I think if you went a little early or went during the week, you know, should.
Yeah, I drove by one day and there was a line. I mean, waiting, all the chairs, seats were taken. There were people lined up waiting to get in. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I probably have said this before, but I'll repeat myself. That is a place that broke the mold that's often set in Little Rock, which is you can just open a restaurant and open it on the cheap and it'll work. Well, they didn't. I mean, they did it right. I mean, they designed a building and they thought about everything from outdoor heaters to awnings, and they just did it right. Now they had
some money.
Backer. Yeah, they had some money, which helps, I must say. But I mean, they did it right, and I hope they're reaping the reward now. Judging by the crowds I see every time I drive past, it seems like they do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe out there. Get your shot, and we'll be back next week.
See you later. Bye.